Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study as we finish Luke chapter 13 in verses 34 and 35 with a study titled Jerusalem and Jesus. You may contact us by email at our address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085, and please make any donations out to Bible Believers Fellowship. You can also contact us or donate by visiting bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update that includes a special Thanksgiving message, and then our study of Jerusalem and Jesus in Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is part one of two. Current events update to the end. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, reminder, Islam continues its murderous attacks on Christians. Kind of lose sight of, there's so much really evil stuff going on. It's hard to keep up with it all. And that's why we do these current events updates, because whatever research you do, whatever you do paying attention to what's going on around the world, we can help you with that. But if this is your only source, you're going to be way behind. You have to pay attention 7 days a week. This happened last week. A Ugandan pastor was slain by Muslims in an anti-Christian attack in front of his daughter as they screamed, "You will face the wrath of Allah." Islamic extremists in an eastern Uganda district accused a 58-year-old Christian pastor of being an infidel who had harmed the religion of Allah for refusing to remove his church building. Wielding long knives and blunt objects, the men attacked the pastor in front of his daughter, who fled the scene to report the crime to police, according to reports. Three men dressed in Islamic attire killed Pastor Stephen Lugwire while he was in his animals grazing fields with his 23-year-old daughter, Brenda Lugwire, in the predominantly Muslim area on the morning of October 27th. Now, by contrast, nowhere on planet Earth are Christians killing people for being unbelievers. I just want to, every once in a while, remind you of the Orwellian bubble that Americans live in. And they only get their news from a bunch of globalist liars. Amen. And those globalist liars never tell you what's going on in the world. There's all this stuff going on all over the world, and what do they want to tell you about? Brittany.
COVID numbers.
Kardashians.
They lie to you about the COVID information. The Kardashians. You know, all this stuff that nobody with any intelligence should care about.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what you watch. I want to be in this position so that I can simply tell you the truth. And if you're watching that crap and you get your feelings hurt, you know I'm not pointing at anybody in here because I don't know what you watch. But if you waste your time keeping up with the Hollywood crazies, you're wasting your time and you're going to be held accountable for being a bad steward.
Amen.
With the time that God has allotted to you on this earth. And there's times where people want to get away from things and just kind of, you know, let their minds rest and everything. That ain't going to do it. All that's going to do is fill your mind with more mud. You're going to have muck and mire instead of clearing your mind. If Christians were doing half what Islam is doing, there would be global hysteria.
Yeah.
I want you to understand what your news media would do if these were Christians doing these things. You would be hearing about it daily, all day, every day, about how evil Christianity is. Well, I think even this one example, if that were a Christian who had killed anyone else, it would be on the worldwide news all day, every day for who knows how long. But if they were doing what, you know, that's what I'm saying, in the real world, what Islam alone is doing to people. So you can bypass our useless globalist news media and go to a website called thereligionofpeace.com. It is all lowercase, thereligionofpeace.com. They just give you the actual news, the actual events of what's going on. I don't know for sure if he's behind this particular website or not. But if you go to that website, you will see some things that you'll note. Number on the right-hand side, a running list of all the news media, news stories, and most of those are within a day or two. That's a list of what's happening every day or two, not just one or two headlines. You'll see on this day a historical event. This day, November 21, 2019, in Sindh, Pakistan, a 10-year-old girl is stoned to death by her parents. That's Muslim law. You'll see the attacks that have been happening right under the orange attacks. The atrocity of the week is the first thing you'll see. In the Congo, a brutal massacre leaves 38 dead. And jokingly, facetiously saying, then is a list of other recent misunderstandings of Islam. As you point out what Islam is doing in the world, all these ignoramuses in some cases they're devils, lie and say, you just don't understand Islam. I understand Islam. I understand their leader, Muhammad, was a murderer. He had sex slaves. He would have these, what were called epileptic fits that I believe were devil possession fits, foaming at the mouth, and he would get visions about how he can have more women and how when they would defeat people, they could just completely annihilate them and take all the women and so forth. So do I understand Islam? You look at the founder, you look at the Quran, you look at the Hadiths, and you look at the history, including what's happening right now in nations that are majority Muslim. And you'll get the information. And it is a religion of defeat, the enemy conquer, and forced conversion. Jesus Christ never forced anybody to convert. Jesus Christ preached that you must believe, which is something you do of your own will. Jesus Christ said if you reject what his offer of free salvation, then you would have to pay for your own sins. You sinned against a holy God. And if you reject the free gift of salvation, you're choosing to go to hell. But that's not coercion. That's the truth. That's the reality. So, moving on to number two, despite the wickedness in this world, we have much to be thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the extremes that you're going to have to get used to in this life from here on out. That the reality is ugly, there's constant atrocities, terrible things going on, the tyrants are trying to take over and force you under their tyranny, and yet we still are all the way over here saying we still have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen. Yes.
They could throw us all in camps and we could starve to death or be gassed or whatever. And yet we go into an eternity with Jesus Christ where they'll never touch us.
Yep.
They will go to hell. So that's what you have to keep in mind as you're dealing with these things. And otherwise, you'll get very frustrated or try to take matters into your own hands. And that could be dangerous. Sister Jenny, my little Jenny, will narrate the following. This is a little Thanksgiving reminder. How many days? 4 days? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? From the holiday of Thanksgiving. But we remind you that the holiday is a great reminder to the rest of the world that we should be thankful every day. Amen?
Today, we are thankful. For a faithful God. A beautiful Savior. gracious Redeemer. Today, we are grateful. For God's endless love. His saving mercy. And His passionate heart. Today we give thanks.
Amen. So happy Thanksgiving a few days early. 365 days a year and an extra day in leap years. Amen?
Amen.
We have plenty to be thankful for. And so I tell you, these are the things that keep you sane, the reality. We talk about we want you to live in the real world. We want you to be aware of what's going on, but we never want you to lose sight of the reality. God is in control.
Amen.
And God's going to win.
Amen?
How many of you have heard it? I've read the back of the book and
we win.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We're in Luke 13. Verses 34 and 35. And every once in a while I want to remind you, when you come to church, don't expect to hear a message that's going to change your life. When you got saved, that's when your life changed.
Amen.
Now you're on a steady diet of God's Word. How many of you had such a good steak that it changed your life? Rick's making that claim. But I've had some really good steak, and man, it was great. But you know what will change your life is if you stop eating. So keep eating. And that's what it is with God's Word. This is the meat and potatoes here. And now you listen to what I'm going to teach right now. And then when you go home, you read your Bible and have your personal relationship with the Lord one-on-one.
Amen.
Every day. I can't be there and don't want to be there in your life every day. We'd get sick of each other. But God never gets sick of you, and you'd never get sick of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we're closing out, as I said, our study in Luke 13, verses 34 and 35. And it's going to include a prophecy by Jesus. And Jesus was a prophet, a priest, and a king.
Amen.
We talked a little bit about the priesthood this morning. And right now we're going to see Jesus, the prophet. Amen. So let's read those two verses in Luke 13, 34 and 35. If you're there, read it with me. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. So verse 34 starts there with that, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. And we discussed that in our previous study. But we start there because it sets the context for verse 35, which is the prophecy we're going to look at in a few minutes. But the context is a geographical location, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a city on a map, and you can jump on a plane and fly over there. But we don't have time for that this morning. So I'm going to show you just a couple of snapshots of Jerusalem in case some of you aren't familiar with what the city looks like. That's a beautiful sunset view of the city. You can see the walls of the old city and everything there. It's beautiful. There's another closer view. That big gold thing right there is the Muslim Dome of the Rock. And it sits where it's believed that the original temple sat, although some differ. We'll find out the answer to that when Jesus returns. But that's in the. So there's a nighttime view with the moon in the background. Has anybody here been to Jerusalem?
Yes.
Okay, the only person in our local church that had been there that we knew of was Mike Kaler.
Yeah.
Years ago.
I heard a story about going there once.
Well, I think we've all heard those. But this is in it's called outside the camp of the Old Jerusalem, which says, but if you go to Jerusalem, you definitely want to visit this place. It's called Golgotha, this place of the skull. And up where that wall is right now would be where Jesus would have been crucified.
Wow.
And they call it the place of the skull because it just looks like some skulls, you know, laying there. Then there's this garden tomb. It's empty. And they've done tests, actually, and said that there's no evidence of any body ever decaying in that tomb. So Jesus laid there, and the Bible prophesied he would not let his Holy One see corruption. And then after that, it's been known since then that that was the tomb of Jesus, and they didn't allow anybody else to be buried there. And God has preserved that over the years. So that's some little photographical background there on the city of Jerusalem. Now, some fast facts on Jerusalem. Number one, in your Bible, Jerusalem is named 767 times by that name in the Bible. Now, you have Islam and others trying to lay claim to parts of Jerusalem and everything, but as far as I know, I don't believe Jerusalem's even in the Quran. You have to look that up. I think I remember that. But it's the most named city in the Bible, and it's named three times more often than the next most mentioned city, which is its complete counterfeit, and that's Babylon. So the top two in the Bible are Jerusalem and Babylon, and Jerusalem is mentioned three times more often than Babylon. 260 times for Babylon. Now, if you're in Jerusalem, you used to have to travel by camel in the day we're reading here. And today, in a car on a paved interstate, it takes you basically 15 hours driving. I don't know what that translates when it comes to traveling by camel, but I'm sure it was, someone said it was several weeks to travel that. And of course, you remember the story of the wise men at Christmas time. That's how they traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem. And so we don't know exactly how long that took because they had quite a party going on there. It would have been a large number of people and a lot of stuff they brought with them. So it could probably started sometime in the summer to get there. If you jump on a plane from Jerusalem to Babylon, it's a 7-hour, 40 minutes, so we'll say 8 hours flight just to get there. So the second point is that Jerusalem, as you're reading your Bible, you'll see that it is originally called Salem. Some of you thought that was cigarettes. Others of you think of witches. But Salem originally, the original use of the word was Jerusalem. And you go to Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. That was in what is now Jerusalem, Melchizedek. Then number three, Jerusalem for a time was called Jebus. And God knows most of us are a little slow anyway, so he makes it real easy on us. He tells us right in the text, Judges 19:10, that men being referred to there came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. So there's no guesswork there. And that was because the Jebusites took control of the city for a while, and they called it Jebus, kind of like Jebus City, like Mexico City in Mexico, that sort of thing. And fourth, I just want to mention this, that Jerusalem, when you're reading Old Testament prophecy, you'll see that when Jerusalem is being condemned by God, then it's called Ariel, A-R-I-E-L. Now, that'll be very helpful to you if you make note of that when you're reading through your Old Testament. A lot of times, the reason why people get spinning their wheels and get bored and give up on the Bible is because it's so unfamiliar. And if you take notes of these things, go to Isaiah 29:1, and next to Ariel, right Jerusalem. And woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. And anytime you see that, you'll know what it's talking about. Now, there is there's a couple of references to a man named Ariel. So pay attention to the context. But those are just some tidbits there, the little nuggets that will help you as you read your Bible daily. The importance of the city of Jerusalem cannot be overstated. I'm not talking about today's politics, although that's really in a large way connected with its place in the Bible. The reason why Jerusalem is so important in political and what they call foreign policy matters and that sort of thing. But nor can its importance to and its relation to Jesus be overstated. Jerusalem and Jesus are interconnected. They are like this. You can't separate them. As a matter of fact, there is too much for us to cover in one study. So if I were to try to tell you every tidbit of connection between Jesus and Jerusalem, we'd have to order pizza and hand it out while you're listening, and then maybe even dinner. So Scripture was Scripture. Understanding that Jesus is the King of Kings. How many of you have heard that before? Jesus is King, capital K, of Kings, small k. Why? Because under God, all kings are small k. Amen. And Jesus is the King of all kings. And that's in a general sense now, but there's coming a day where he will rule as King over all the kings of the earth. Let's look over at Psalm 48 real quick. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. And again, as you keep these things in mind, it'll make the Psalms, will, as I think they say, pop. You'll read them and you'll get it. Amen. Psalm 48, 1 and 2. Read that if you're with me. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Now, a whole mouthful there, a lot we can't get into, but look at those last few words there. The city of the great King. Is that word? Is that King there? In your Bible, is the word capitalized?
Yep.
Yeah, you know why? It's talking about Jesus, the King, the city of the great King. So Jerusalem is the city of the great King. You keep that in mind, even when it comes to politics today. Keep that in mind, that Jerusalem is the city of the great King. Has there been a time where Jesus has sat on a throne in Jerusalem and ruled? Not yet. The Bible will come true, folks. Forget what any teachers told you. Forget what anybody in a seminary might have told you. Believe the Bible. Jesus is going to rule in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on a throne as King. Doug?
That's another great verse and a great song to add to our praise thing right there.
Yeah. You going to tell us what you're talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those verses that you just read.
Yeah, it's a song.
It's a song.
Oh. I thought Doug was going to sing for us.
Yeah. You don't want that
singing. Hey, John did already, so we're on a roll this
week. Run out the door.
Yeah. I think, you know what? Hey, people who think they can't sing. Have you ever heard some of these guys? John sang this morning. I tell you, you put a ponytail on him and a headband, and he sang a little through his nose a little more. It'd sound like Willie Nelson.
Amen.
Hey, Willie's big. Willie's big time, man. Over to Matthew. This is what Jesus said about Jerusalem being the city of the great King. Matthew 5, 34 and 35. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Remember this from Wednesday night, if you're with us in our James study. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King.
Amen.
So you see that Old and New Testament confirmed to be the city of the great King. Capitalized again because it's referring to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, think of Jerusalem as the city of Jesus. Again, there's many things we can't point out, but you know, there's a psalm that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it says the Lord will bless you if you do. Why? It's His city. And He's in control. He's going to work it out. I mean, there have been people for my entire lifetime wringing their hands trying to figure out what they're going to do about Jerusalem. The prophet said that it's going to be a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling, as it refers to Jesus. Well, it says that Jerusalem, the city of the great king, will be a cup of trembling. Who's trembling? Not God. Man is trembling. God's got it all figured out. And there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And it's going to happen, folks. We say this all the time. I feel so sorry for people who'd have no hope for...